This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 6, beginning this morning with verse 25. As Jesus is saying to his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than clothes?" This take no thought is really take no anxious thought for your life. That is, don't be worried. Don't be overly concerned with what you're going to eat, with what you're going to drink. Or don't be overly concerned with your body, what you're going to wear. For life is more than food, and your body is more than clothes. Now, this is a command of Jesus to those whose thoughts and concerns seem to be chiefly with their own body and physical needs. Those who are worried about where their next meal is going to come from, or what they're going to fix the family for dinner, or if they're having guests over especially, will the sauces all turn out right? Those who are always saying, "But I don't have anything to wear," or "Does this look okay?" and are always concerned about, you know, how their appearance is. Now, I've been going over the message in my mind and this week and in outlining it. When I got ready to come to church this morning, as a result of the cruise, I've put on a few pounds. And as I was looking in the mirror, I noticed that the button is sort of pulling here in the front and the coat is wrinkled, and I thought, "Oh no." And I began to get all concerned about how I looked, and I thought, and the Lord sort of said, "What are you talking on today?" I mean, did it hit home? Here my outline was all set and everything else, and here I am looking and saying, "No, that doesn't look good, but, you know, it's all I got to wear." Well, you know, and just the collar wasn't quite right up here, and that's exactly what the Lord is saying. Don't be overly concerned with, you know, how people are going to look at you or judge you because of your appearance, of the way your clothes fit or whatever. Life is more than just looking sharp. We remember the story told to us by Luke in his gospel, there in chapter 10, how that Jesus came to visit in the home of Mary and Martha, and how that Martha was busying herself about with many things. She was concerned about, you know, how the house looked, and she was getting the food and trying to, you know, be a gracious hostess to the Lord. Her sister Mary just sat at the feet of Jesus to listen to him, just to commune with him. And finally, Martha became upset and she said, "Lord, would you tell Mary to get in here and help me? You know, left me with all the work and she just sitting there." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled with many things. But she has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The better part is the spiritual part. Your life is more than just clothes. Your life is the developing and the maintaining of a walk with God and of a fellowship with God. And that should be of greater concern and interest to you than what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, just the physical aspects of your life. Your relationship with God should be of paramount issue in your mind. The cure for worry. The next time you're prone to be worried or overly concerned about your food, Jesus said, consider the birds of the air. They do not plow fields. They do not sow seeds. They do not gather the crops and store them into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Notice he didn't say that their heavenly Father feeds them. Birds are a creation of God, but they're not the children of God. He is your heavenly Father. And if your heavenly Father will feed the birds, see that they are taken care of, their hunger is satisfied, how much more will your heavenly Father take care of you? Now, Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't plow, that we shouldn't sow, that we shouldn't gather the harvest into the barns. But he is saying we're not to be worried about these things. We're not to be overly concerned or consumed with these things. These are not the most important things in life. The most important thing in life is your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Yes, we plant. Yes, we sow. Yes, we gather the fruit of the harvest. And that is proper. But to be overly concerned, to be worried about, will we get enough rain to take, you know, to develop the crop and so forth, that's where we're wrong, to be overly concerned about the physical issues of life so that they dominate over the spiritual issues of our life. I thoroughly enjoy working in the garden. I love to get my hands in the dirt. I love to work with the soil. I find that it gives me just a tremendous time to worship the Lord, to think of his greatness, of his power, of his wisdom. Jesus said, your Father feeds the birds. It's the argument from the lesser to the greater. Your Father feeds the birds, and are you not much better than the birds? Now, maybe in the eyes of the environmentalist, you're not. Their cry is to abort the babies and save the spotted owls. Burn the homes, but save the gnat catchers. I wonder, when are people going to wake up to the idiocy of allowing the system to be run by the kooks? In the eyes of the Lord, I want to tell you something. You are much better than the birds. And your Father takes care of the birds. And he will surely take care of you. Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add 18 inches to your height. Here's a little short fellow. So worried, I'm so short. I wish I were taller. People are going to take advantage of me because I'm so short. And worried constantly, you know, looks at himself in the mirror and just sees that little shorty there, and is just so worried. Well, what Jesus is saying is that worry doesn't really accomplish anything. It doesn't make you grow taller. It is a non-productive activity. It doesn't really bring any real fruit. Now, the next time you're worried about your clothes, Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, and neither do they spin. Now, in those days, most of the clothes were handmade. It began with the spinning of the wool into the yarn, the making of the cloth, and then the sewing of the fabric. The house had its spindle, where they would spin the wool or the cotton into a fabric or into a cloth or into the material to make the cloth. And the idea of what shall I wear was far more than going down to the department store and looking over the many racks of different styles and colors and determining what will look best on you. It was a real task to clothe the family in those days. The toil of shearing the sheep, and then the spinning of the wool into the yarn, the weaving of the yarn into a fabric. Jesus said, take a look at those lilies in the field. It is thought that he was making a reference possibly to the anemones, those beautiful, brilliant red flowers that sort of look like a poppy. Or in other places, they are a sort of light blue in color. Others of them are white. And there in Israel, in the springtime, they cover the fields and the hillsides in just glorious color. It looks like the hills are covered with a beautiful red carpet. They're absolutely gorgeous. And Jesus said, when you're prone to be concerned about, you know, what am I going to wear? Does this really look good on me? He said, just look at those lilies in the field, those beautiful colors. And he said, Solomon in all of his glory, with all of his wealth, was not dressed as beautifully as that little lily there in the field. And again, the argument from the lesser to the greater. If God will so clothe the grass with such beauty and color, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. It's just a very temporary thing. Soon the summer sun comes and all of it withers and turns brown and the color is gone. Such a transient thing, such a passing thing, as are the fads and fashions of our clothes. How much more will he clothe you? And then he said, O ye of little faith. Here's the cause of worry. Our little faith. You see, faith and worry are mutually exclusive. If you have real faith in the providence and in the care of God, you'll not worry over your circumstances. The worry that you have demonstrates the lack of faith. Somehow the concept of a heavenly Father has not really sunk into your mind. He is the Lord of creation, but he is your heavenly Father. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus had taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." You see, relationship is what it's all about. Understanding and knowing that God is a heavenly Father, a loving Father, a caring Father, who loves and cares for his children. He loves and cares for his creation, birds and flowers. But even more does he love and care for his children. But you see, the problem with many people, they just can't say, "My Father in heaven." They are God's creation, but they are not God's children. The Bible tells us, "But as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed upon his name, who were born not by the will of man or the will of the flesh, but by the will of God." Those who had had a second birth. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." It is only through the new birth that you become a child of God. But having become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, knowing now that he is your heavenly Father, it should dispel any worry, any concern over the issues of life. What I'm going to drink, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, these are not the important issues. The important issue is my relationship to my heavenly Father. And that should be the chief concern of my life. My concern of my relationship with God should be greater than any other concern that I have. Jesus said, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things." He knows that you need food. He knows that you need clothes. So you don't have to worry about it. Your Father knows that you need these things. Jesus taught us how much our Father cares for us, how much he loves us, how much he watches over even the trivia of our lives. He's aware of your every need, and he knows your needs before you've recognized them. Now, those who worry about their food, those who worry about their clothes, those whose minds are constantly occupied in these mundane things, are really no different than the heathen, nor are they any better off than the heathen. Jesus again repeated, "Therefore take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?' For after all of these things do the heathen seek." That's the world around you. That's the chief concern of the world around you. The fulfilling of the body appetites. Man has become a slave to his body appetites. And the chief thoughts of the people of the world are the fulfilling of their body needs. You hear it wherever you work, wherever you intermix with people of the world. What is the conversation about? Some great restaurant they've just found. Some new drink. Some new pleasure. Some new relationship. Physical, sexual. I mean, that's what they think about and that's what their minds are occupied with. Some new dress that they're buying, or new suit or sweater or whatever. After all of these things do the heathen seek. But you are different. And you are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you do, he will take care of all these things. You see, it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of what is paramount in your mind and in your heart and in your life. It's a matter of what you put first. And if you put these things first, then you're no better off than the heathen. But if you put first your relationship with God, and you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then God will take care of the other things. Life is made up of priorities. And it's important that we have things set in their proper order. Many people go through their whole lives and accomplish nothing because their priorities have been all askew. They've put the priorities on the wrong things. They get to the end of their life and it's a big zilch, nothing. They waste their lives in non-productive things, in the temporal things only, and they have nothing eternally to show for their lives when they get to the end of the road. And this is only an expansion on that thought that Jesus had just been speaking about. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he's expanding on that thought here. There are people who have absolutely nothing to show for their lives eternally. Nothing eternally. According to Jesus, the worry about the material things is a non-productive activity. It doesn't produce anything. But if you will keep your priorities straight, put God first, then everything else will work out. He will take care of the rest. Seek ye first, or you seek first, the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Priorities. Therefore, let a man examine himself. Look at your own heart. So easy. To get caught up and to have your chief concern of what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. As I say, he's not discounting those. Those things are, they have their place. But their place isn't the top place. The top priority. What is more important are things that are eternal. Your spiritual relationship with God. And when you get that right, the rest of it falls in its proper place. And you don't have to worry or be concerned or be constantly thinking about these other things. They just fall into place when God is first. Shall we pray? Father, help us this day to put you first and foremost above everything else in our thoughts, in our minds. Forgive us, Lord, for the time that we spend on thinking about ourselves and our needs physically. Lord, we realize that these physical things are going to all pass away like the flowers of the field. But the spiritual aspects of our lives are eternal. And so help us, Lord, to be different from the heathen. And may we give, Lord, our minds, our thoughts, our concerns towards the spiritual things. And may we seek you first. And that relationship with you, Lord, may that become the top priority of our life so that we can truly say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Help us, Lord. The pressures of the world in which we live are constantly pushing our minds towards earthly things that have no eternal value. And they are constantly demanding our time and our energies. Bring us, Lord, a confidence and a trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Shall we stand? So when you look in the mirror, say, oh, it doesn't matter anyhow. My Father loves me. He accepts me. He doesn't judge me by what I'm wearing. And just develop that relationship with him. Oh, how beautiful is life when your priorities are right. When you have that right relationship with God. And you know that he's going to take care of these things. I need to worry about taking care of my relationship with him.